F4.
Number 18B.
So we come to the second picture. Now it is Jesus that is in the focal point, and John begins now to identify Jesus as sinless. So only that Jesus that was sinless could write to the ground and make nothing of sin, else he couldn't make nothing of sin. So only that, so John would depict only that consciousness which sees the nothingness of sin can also free somebody of sin. Otherwise he can't do it. So we hear here again that Christianity order now in the focal point is Jesus as the sinless manhood. From verse 12 on, and I read it perhaps a bit quickly, it's very clear, the text. So Jesus spake again and said, you see, he began still to teach. He was in the temple sitting down. Again, he gives another teaching. Now he shows how man as such is sinless. And we come right to mind, and he taught what? He said in 12, I am the light of the world. Now you begin to hear the I am-ness. He said, he didn't say, well, mind will bring light to the situation. Mind, the light of mind will come to the darkness and enlighten the darkness and enlighten men. No, he is the light. I am the light. As if he would say, I am mind in expression. That's a standpoint that we should have to take in. Because right from the beginning we saw, right in the first part, that we saw that man has the mind of God. That he is not born of the will of the flesh, nor of the blood of the woman. That he really has the mind of Christ. So I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Of life. Why not the light of truth? Well, he's teaching in the 5,000 period. Mrs. Eddy would say here, in the light of truth. When we look at it in the light of truth. He was bringing out his mission. So he goes on and says, and my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go. See, again he says, I know my origin. I know that mind is my origin. Therefore, I am that light, and I know from where I came and whither I go. I come from mind, and I go to mind. There is nowhere else to go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. See, he said, your standpoint is that you take another standpoint than the I am. You judge after the flesh, you go out from matter, you go out from the flesh, you go out from the material concept. So your standpoint is wrong, therefore you judge. I go out from God, there is nothing to be judged when you go out from God, because from God you only see the ideas of mind. Ye neither know me, 19, I just skip sometimes verses or to bring out the pith of the story, 19, ye neither know me, nor my Father. You don't know anything about it. If ye had known me, ye would have known my Father also. So this is just arguing out with the Jews that they judge after the flesh, that they do not know the Father, because they don't go out from the Father, so they don't know the Father. We will never know the Father until we go out from the Father. We never know God by trying to creep up the ladder and creeping up and up and up to somewhere where we don't know where we go. If we go out from God, we know what God is. And we should honor that revelation that Mrs. Eddy made, that she was the first one in the whole human history. Well, you can say that she was the first one really in these 15 billion years since the evolution of the Big Bang that was telling us what God is, that was defining what God is. We should have a much bigger esteem for the contribution that Mrs. Eddy made. And not that contribution that is said, well, God doesn't send sickness, God doesn't send sin and so on, and God doesn't punish you, God is love and He loves you. This is nice, this is very nice, but this isn't the pith of it. Other religions say the same thing. That's not the pith of Mrs. Eddy's revelation. The pith of Mrs. Eddy's revelation that she was the very first one who would define in plain words what God is. See, the Bible didn't explain in plain words what God is. They tried to symbolize it through the days of creation and through all sorts of things. But to bring that whole Bible of many thousand pages right down to one line and say, God is incorporeal, is divine, is supreme, infinite, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. This is something quite extraordinary. And quite extraordinary is that she, in this way, could find then the three main categories of being. Since 50 billion years this has not been discovered. She did it. We should have a much higher estimation for Mrs. Eddy or for the textbook than what we usually have. Then the Christian Science movement would be a terrific movement, a terrific thing. And one day it will, but under absolutely different conditions. Because a revelation like this cannot be, swept away, huh? Cannot be just put on a trash can. Cannot be done. One may try to do it, but it will not be possible. The idea is too big. God has a plan, and if God had a plan since 15 billion years, He's not going to give up that plan just right now, just because some people don't understand it. Now, she said, well, it may take 2 or 3 centuries to be understood. Okay, we only have 1 century behind us. There are still the 2nd and 3rd century before us for the idea to break through. And we have seen, we have been witnessing over the last few months how an idea can break down a wall, how it can break down the Iron Curtain, how it can break down something that has been going on for 70 years, suppressing the rights of man. We have seen that that can break overnight and unexpectedly. So let's give to this idea all our love and hope and see that it is a mighty idea. This is terrific what Mrs. Eddy has done. Quite enormous. So, I always get away from the line. Yeah, so it comes to soul and depicts Jesus from the point of view of soul. So in mind he depicted him as he is the mind of Christ. He is the light of the world. Now, 23, Jesus said, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Can you see? Soul is always supreme. I come from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I am not from animal magnetism. If ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. See, you shall die in your sins. What are the sins? Not the adulterous sin. You shall die in the sin that you do not go out from the Father. And that you do not accept that Christ has come from the Father, that Jesus is the Christ. If you don't go out from the Word and the Christ, you die in your sins. That's your sin. So to reject that we have the mind of Christ is our sin. Every time we reject that we don't have that mind which is God, we sin. Aren't we sinners, huh? From morning to night. We think we are so proper, huh? So proper. Now, you have to see the true sense of sin. 28, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, see, always lifting up the Son of Man, soul lifts always up, huh? Then shall ye know that I am He. Then shall you know that, shall ye know that I am He. He identified himself with that mind of Christ. That's a great step, you see. First you say, well, I have the mind of Christ. Then you identify yourself completely that you are that mind of Christ. And then because I do nothing of myself. We can't do anything out of ourselves. But as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. Wonderful. We should only see that we always, when teaching Christian Science, that we really have at least a faint feeling that the Father is talking, that the Father is explaining Himself. That I must have a feeling when I speak to you to be careful that I always go out from principle, and that only that which comes from principle is really principle-like, and therefore is only true, and that I only hear that what principle interprets to me, and I can see it interprets itself to me through his three great categories of being, and then I speak what I hear from my Father, from my principle. 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, soul is freedom, freedom from sin. That soul always brings freedom. So ye shall know the truth. So if we do not go out from the earth, but come from above, we know the truth, because that is always the truth. 34, whosoever commit a sin is the servant of sin. 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So true freedom we only gain, as he said, when we go out from the Father and accept that we have the mind of Christ, that we are the mind of Christ, then only are we free, really free. And he goes on to Spirit in the 37. Jesus said, ye seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. They tried to kill him. Why? Because his word had no place in you. In other translations they said, because the word makes no progress in you. That's from the Greek translation. That is interesting. Always when the spiritual does not make progress within us, we resist. We hate the spirit because we don't make progress. And so we have to be very careful that people who hate us, who persecute us, are not persecuting us. They are not hating us. They are hating the spiritual unfoldment. If they are jealous of us, they are jealous of the spiritual unfoldment, not of us as people. Who would like to have my big nose? Or who would like to have this and that of me? There is nothing to be envied about a mortal, but there is something to be envied about the spiritual consciousness. Very much so. So he says, ye do the deeds of your Father. And he said, of your father, he meant naturally the father of the Jews, Abraham. So he said, ye do the deeds of your father. And that was a terrific accusation, which Jesus didn't really interpret that way. But he could see that Jesus mistook what Abraham was. They thought that Abraham as a mortal were their fathers. And we'll see how he resolves that afterwards, that they had a false sense of Abraham. They took him as the beginning of a generation, just as Matthew was showing them the generations from Abraham to David, 14 generations, 14 generations from David to Babylon, to the captivity in Babylon, 14 generations from the captivity in Babylon, then up to Jesus. So they mistook, really, Abraham, we'll see. So the Jews naturally were furious about it and said, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. So they fornication, you see, is a term for impurity against the purity of spirit. So Jesus said, if God were your Father, if that would be true what you say, ye would love me. Then I proceed and came forth from God, and God has sent me. If you say God is your Father, that's not true what you say, because then you would love me. You think that Abraham was your father, and that you came from Abraham. And so, 44, he said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. Can you see now the opposite of spirit, of the purity of spirit? He says, you do not come from the purity of spirit, from the pure sense of Abraham, as he afterwards will show. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him, in the devil. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. See, he does not speak in the name of the Father as Jesus did. Jesus always spake in the name of the Father. What the Father has told me, I am saying. So if you don't speak from the from God your Father, you speak a lie. It's so hard, huh? But so true. For he is a liar and the father of it. So he is a murderer from the beginning, he said. Yes, a murderer from the beginning. Because if we are not going out from God, we murder men. We murder the true idea man. We kill the true idea man. If we think that man begets man, and that man is the father of man, that mortals are bringing forth mortals, then we kill the idea man. We are a murderer, and we do that right from the beginning, because right from the beginning we believed immortality. So he has to lift that out of that fornication. And so he said, 47, he that is of God heareth God's words. They don't speak from the devil. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. And you see, he argues now how about God as being spirit, so that everything that does not start out from above but from beneath is a mortal concept, is a material concept, and therefore an impure concept, the impurity. So he goes further to life. 48, though the Jews said to him, thou hast the devil. First Jesus says to the Jews, you are from the Father, you're devil. So now naturally they say, well, you are a devil, you are a real devil. So they couldn't see that he was really from life, truth and love. So Jesus said, but if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. That's my proof. That if you really see from where I come from the Father, you will have life eternal. You shall never see death. 52, the Jews said, now we know that thou hast a devil, because Abraham is dead, and the prophets are dead. Now we know that you are a liar, they said to Jesus. Huh? Because Abraham is dead, the prophets are dead, and you say, if we believe you, you give us everlasting life. That can't be done. If Abraham would have had everlasting life, if that would be the theory, the principle. But that was for them, that was not the principle, to have everlasting life. Art, then 53, art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? You say you have some higher concept than Abraham, a higher principle, a higher theory than Abraham had. He died, and you see, do you say you are greater? So Jesus answered it and said, 54, it is my Father that honors me, yet ye have not known him, but I know him and keep his saying. He said, yes, I'm greater, because I know God, and you don't know him. And you don't know him. So I'm greater than your father Abraham. He was very careful to say your father Abraham, because as we see right now, right afterwards, Jesus had a much higher concept of Abraham than the Jews had. He had a spiritual concept of Abraham, a wonderful concept of Abraham. But he could see that the Jews were making Abraham a mortal, treated him just as an ordinary mortal, and said, to him the promise was given. The promise. He only had the promise, Abraham. He didn't say, I am. I am he. So the story goes on, and now comes to a climax in love, so that Jesus could identify himself really as the Son of God, as the I Am of God. So Jesus said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He said, 2,000 years ago, Abraham rejoiced to see me. Quite a statement, huh? 2,000 years ago, Abraham really saw me and rejoiced in it. And he saw it and was glad. So the Jews said, thou art not yet 50 years old. How could he know what Abraham was seeing? Abraham was 2,000 years ago. And you are only 50 years old. How could you say such a thing? You didn't know Abraham. But he knew Abraham. Jesus knew him. Because he said afterwards, before Abraham, you see, 58, before Abraham was, I am. He said the I am-ness was long before Abraham. Long before. The beingness of being was long before Abraham. The idea man, the sinless idea man, was long before Abraham was. And the story of Abraham is so wonderful, the way Jesus saw it, because Jesus saw the true sense of Abraham. Now just go quickly back, we have 5 minutes left, thank God. Go quickly back to Abraham. Why was Abraham glad to see him and he saw it? He saw it. What on earth did Abraham see? He saw my days and was glad. What did he see? And so if we just take the zenith of Abraham's vision, you know that Abraham was 100 years old, Sarah was 90 years old, they didn't have a son. And so at that point, three men appeared suddenly, and they came, and Abraham went out to meet them and said to the three men, my Lord. He didn't say my lords. He could see the Trinity of God. The Trinity of God is life, truth, and love. So he said, this is my Lord. God as life, truth, and love. And said, so he greeted them and said, my Lord. So he could see the idea of life, truth, and love as the reality of being. And so they promised him that he would have a son. And afterwards, you know that they had a son, that Sarah brought forth a son, Isaac. And so he became, the promise was that Abraham would be the father of all nations. Of all nations, not only of the Jews, but of all nations. Because the idea of life, truth, and love is universal. It's not national, it's not racial, it's universal. And the father of multitudes, because it was life. And his seed will fill the whole world. It was universal, it was of the nature of love. So he could see something that the idea of life, truth, and love is a universal idea and not just a temporal thing. But the great point was then, and that we read in Hebrew about Abraham, you know, in the story of Abraham we know that there was a war going on between the four kings and the five kings. Nobody knows what that was. But it's a very interesting story that four kings were warring against the five kings. And that the four kings were victorious over the five kings. The five kings are the five corporeal senses. The four kings are the calculus of materiality. So the calculus of materiality as today will always be victorious. The science of today, the natural science, the physical science as the calculus of mortality, they do away with the testimony of the physical sense. They think in terms of mathematics, they think in terms and in symbols that the eyes doesn't see. So what the eyes can't see, that is what the material calculus can calculate today. So the material calculus is always victorious over the five physical senses. But then Abraham went out and he was victorious over the material calculus, over the four kings, and was victorious because Abraham had a spiritual calculus in his consciousness. And this spiritual calculus, as we have seen, we can resolve the material calculus. And having resolved the material calculus with his spiritual calculus, he met Melchizedek. Melchizedek Nobody knows who Melchizedek was except that he is explained spiritually. And Hebrew explains that Melchizedek spiritually and gives the true sense, really, of Abraham's vision. Because Melchizedek is interpreted in Hebrews as the king of righteousness. Well, that was a biblical term for the calculus of spirit. Righteousness, calculating rightly, making right calculus. As the king of righteousness, the king of peace, of love. That calculus of love, as we have it here now, we are in the calculus of love. Love only knows the divine infinite calculus. And he was without father and without mother. Can you see? He defines him exactly the way we have had it in the very first stone, in the first part, that man is not born of flesh and blood, that he is not from the will of the woman, a will of man and the blood of the woman, that he is from God. That God is his father and mother. So that Melchizedek was that sense that man does not stem from mortals, without father, without mother, without descent, without generations to come down from one generation to the other, without descent, having neither beginning of days. Can you see the wonderful sense of the beingness of our being? Having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God. That's what Abraham saw already at that time. That's why he was glad to see the Son of God as it appeared as Jesus. Made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest eternally. That's why he could say, that Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Yeah. Okay.